WHM monitoring.
Who you monitoring there, Bill?
Gerald T.R.
Something there in 0TR. How you, Tom?
Let me turn this thing down, Bill. I just turned it on. Better than the TV. Charlie Daniels. Oh, shoot. So-so today, Bill, as life goes. You know how when you hurt yourself one day and then 2 days later you stop and think, what did I do? Well, I was pushing up on a pipe on a chicken pen out there, and I think I racked that shoulder up that I knocked 2 inches out of joint about 10 years ago. And it's smarting this morning. And then the normal other stuff, but thinking about doing some yard work, but oh my. I stepped outside, and Bernice says, you're not going to like it out here. I turned around and come back in.
It's a little, it's not hot, but it's warm and definitely humid. And I'm getting ready here in about another little over an hour. Head to Athens for the football game. I'm going to work it as a radio operator. So, get to see how people's been tailgating all day, what effect that has on them.
Oh, cheers and beers, as the guys I used to talk to in Australia said, in New Zealand. Or maybe that was up in Europe, I don't know. Cheers and beers, I remember that. Well, yeah, you be safe down there. Take care of yourself. I turned on the TV a while ago. Bill said he, in 4IQ, said he was going to watch college football all afternoon. I'm not that big a fan. But when I turned it on Fox there, it was Nebraska and Oklahoma. That's getting back close to the old home turf. I don't know what it's doing now. I haven't went back over there to look. But they get pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, football fans, well, they call them fanatics. They take it pretty serious. I personally don't care for it, but I go and do this and have a good time doing it and watching everybody. It's kind of comical. I was looking at the stats from last week on the first aid and how many people we treated, transported, everything else, and it was a pretty mild game to be the first home game. Ticket counter in the stadium said we only had a little over 62,000 out of 93,000 seats, so it's about two-thirds full.
Well, we went to see a Boston Red Sox game up there. It's the only professional game of any kind I've ever been to. A couple of years ago, when we went to visit our nephew up there, and that was quite a treat. We were a long ways out, but we had very good seats. But it's modeled after this one at Greenville. The stadium is, I mean, Greenville Stadium is, got that big green wall, whatever they call it. But it wasn't too crazy, but the longer it went on, the more beer this few that sat in front of us drank, and they got a little rowdy, but not too bad. I don't care about rowdy. I just don't want to be around profane when there's ladies around and that, and that's probably one of the reasons I don't go. But I get a kick out of how these idiots paint their faces, and the things they do in the stadium is just way beyond the norm. It's laughable. 7-3, Oklahoma's ahead of Nebraska right now.
Yeah, people do get a little little crazy, especially the students. You know, there's that group that paint themselves up, and they're there. They're probably already lined up waiting to get in. They get there hours early to make sure they get that very front row. And they got their pads with, you know, foam spikes on them and everything, and they dress and paint up, and they love to get on TV. I think this game's going to be on ABC tonight at 7 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. There'll be a lot of people watching Georgia and South Carolina play.
I might turn that on for a little bit. But my daughter and son-in-law and oldest grandson are complete nuts about football. So they may be watching it. So what do you do? Roam around, or do you have a station that you stand by at? And are you visible to the TV cameras?
I have a station that I'm at, and there's about 12 stations around the stadium, and each station has two first aid responders and one radio operator. And my job is to communicate back and forth with what I'll call net control, and if we need police, EMS, get them there, and when a call comes in, they dispatch us, and I go with one of the medics to, you know, whoever or whatever is in our section, and I'm the communications portion of it, making sure that all the information is relayed.
Motorola businessman radios or something, right?
Using ham, we've got a repeater at the stadium just for this, and we do a combination of tactical and ham call signs. It's kind of a unique setup. I've never had heard of it this way, but that's the way they've got it set up. And we have one person that sits in the control booth with, you know, all the other controllers for EMS, police, fire, security, you name it, and we're communicating back and forth on basically a simplex crossband repeater.
Oh, I just wondered how you kept people from interfering. I can see how that would be pretty secure. Well, that's great. You should have a good seat. Those fields are just amazing to me. I never seen anything that big like them Boston Red Sox were playing at. And there I just lived 125 miles from Kansas City, but I never did go up there. And they got two stadiums, if I'm not mistaken. One for baseball and one for football, I think. But I've been around it quite a bit. But they are monstrosities, I'll tell you. A lot of money involved there.
About the size of Sanford Stadium, holding 93,000, I think 732 people is what it holds. And then you figure the support personnel and everything, and that thing's only used six times a year. That's a awful big place to be used six or seven times a year, and they do hold graduation in it when the weather's good, but still, less than a dozen times a year, and there's no telling what that thing cost. I know they did an upgrade on the cell phone service there several years ago. AT&T and Verizon both committed $25 million apiece to upgrade the phone service for those home games. So I guess that tells you what kind of money is involved.
Yeah, you know, Shelley, our oldest daughter, went to the University of Michigan. And it's in the hundreds of thousands there, Bill. It's over 100,000. I think it was 106,000 in standing room only or something one time that she was talking to us on the phone from up there. It's deafening.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, it gets pretty loud in there, that's for sure. It's, especially when something's exciting going on, we wear headsets for the radios, of course, and I wear one that's just got one earpiece so I can hear the medic talk to me in the other ear, and it's all you can do to make out what's being said and talk on the radio to transmit stuff. And then if somebody scores a touchdown, you just might as well wait. I don't know how loud it is in decibels, but it's deafening.
130 dB. I was thinking they listed some stadium there as being the loudest in the United States one time. I don't remember where it was at, but that's another thing I don't like. But gosh, our daughter, her voice goes up 3 octaves whenever she's hollering out there at the coaches and at Isaac and everybody else. I don't see how she keeps from getting in trouble. But she coaches at some at different places, so she knows what she's talking about. And you get her started on that here, and I, to be honest with you, I just don't care anything about it. But man, she tells you how the plays are run and why they run those kind of plays and what each position is, and I don't even know what the positions are, Bill.
I don't either. You know, they start talking about this back or tight end or safety or, I mean, I got an idea, but I don't really know what they do. To me, it's like the old game we used to play with kids, you know, kill the man with the ball. You just go after him. M4WHM.
Yeah, I heard him interviewing a retired NFL player one time, a news guy. And he says, if you think that we don't feel pretty good if we take out a star quarterback or a star halfback or somebody like that, he says, you're just kidding yourself. So that Neanderthal part of it, I don't like. But I was in the band and standing down on the sidelines when our university back in Kansas won, I think it was NAIA championship or something. It was before they were NCAA. And I'm telling you, you could hear those boys hit. I think they might hit harder than the pros do. I don't know. But when you hear those things crunch, I just decided right then and there, this just wasn't for a scrawny little runt like me.
If I got hit the way some of those guys got hit, I'd still be laying down flat. I mean, they hit hard and they hit fast. Especially the receivers. It's like as soon as they catch the ball, I mean, they just get clobbered. And, I mean, we were watching one game. We used to go to the games years ago, and we were watching one game, and a guy got hit so hard it knocked him out. And, you know, it scared everybody because, I mean, they were showing on the instant replay. I mean, he got hit. As soon as he caught the ball, he got hit while he was still up in the air, and it just knocked him out completely, and he hit the ground like a sack of potatoes.
One time, and I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty positive, there was a guy from New England, and he was in the end like that, and he got paralyzed from the neck down the rest of his life. And back in the old days, I can't remember the names of the football players. I mean, really many years ago, when Kansas City was so popular back in the 70s or 80s. And there was guys on there, those ends would go up and they'd be up in the air, and guys would hit them about knee high and flip them over and do a flip and come down and hit that ground, and they'd get up and kind of shake it off, and away they'd go. But if they hit on their neck or something like that, it's that's what I worry about with Isaac. He's so big. He's 6'4". He weighs, I think, close to 200 now. But he wears a size 16 shoe, and he really hasn't completely, fully developed his coordination in that yet. And I just worry about him getting hurt. There's other ways to make a living as far as I'm concerned, but he's already saying, oh, don't worry about me, Grandpa. I'll get lots of scholarships.
Had a, we were playing a smaller team. It's been, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. I think it was Louisiana Lafayette or something like that. And guy got hit, and he got paralyzed. And it was a reminder to everybody that, you know, it is a dangerous sport. And they did fundraisers for him and, you know, everything at Georgia. And even the football coach did a bunch of things for him because that school was so small they didn't have any means to do for him like a bigger school would have. And I think we ended up paying most of his medical bills and getting him set up after he got out. But it's a, it's dangerous. There's no doubt about it.
Big is the one of the biggest things they look at. They want the big guys, and they start looking at them in high school. And size makes a great deal of difference in recruiting, I guess. And I mean, even the coaches will tell you that. But I guess the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I sure hope that don't apply to my grandson. I'd do anything for him that he needs, but he's got to where he really loves it. And at first, it was kind of mom pushed him. But I don't think it's that way anymore. He's dead serious about it. And he enjoys it. The little one now, he's built like a brick outhouse. And shorter. And but stout. And Amy says he's got to where he's enjoying it now. But I got to tell you right up front, I think mom and dad pushed him. That's all right. They're mom and dad, and that's the executive branch.
Most kids, parents get them involved in it in, you know, Pee Wee League and Little League and Junior League, and then it comes middle school and high school, and, you know, if they're any good, then they're enjoying it and enjoying the popularity and everything. So I'm sure it starts out as a little nudge in that direction, but it doesn't take long, if they're any good, for them to start enjoying that, those accolades and different things they get, and little privileges like, you know, getting out of class on Friday so they can get ready for the game and all that good stuff.
Amy says they get all kinds of perks. Well, on a brighter subject, you're going to start fishing if it cools off. I said Thursday is going to be extra cool in the morning.
That I do fishing, I got my schedule. I looked at my calendar, and I've got something almost every weekend between now and Thanksgiving. Only one or two weekends without where I'm doing something. At least one day for the whole day. So I'll. Right now, my biggest goal is keep studying and take my ham test here and about. I guess, what is this? This is the 18th, so about 2 weeks. It's the first of the month in October, so hopefully get that taken care of. and then do a few things, and we got to put down a new floor in the kitchen and dining room, so I got to work on that, and just all kind of other things. All these things about being an adult that, you know, keep life interesting.
N4WHM. Yeah, well, I found out that Chad had a lake house too, right down there by where our kids' lake house is on Lake Lyman. Didn't know that. And he went up north for a couple of days, and I heard him coming back yesterday, but I had to leave the radio. But, yeah, I tell these kids, never grow up. Have fun while you can. and W4NGU's never give up, but I'd say never grow up. shoot. Well, I don't plan on doing any fishing either, but I know you do. And guys, you could have took your test this morning. I talked to KI4DOS. And he's a VE, and they give tests this morning. They had two technicians and one general that upgraded this morning here at Greenville.
If I knew about it, I know they test it on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. I might would have rode over, because I heard one of the guys, I think it was KI4INN, I probably got the wrong call, but he was saying he upgraded to general. And got his ticket, so he was excited. He was talking this morning about 10:30, and but it'll come quick enough, and it'll be in Athens, so I'll be able to just hang around a little after work. They do it on Tuesday evening, the first Tuesday in the month, and at 6 o'clock, so I'll get it then, and or at least take the test. I ain't gonna presume anything. N4WHM.
Cheesecake, I'm sure, I'm positive you'll make it. And that's good. Well, I didn't know it was coming up either. I don't pay any attention to that anymore. But Gary does it. And you could always ask him on a Wednesday night, I'm sure. But this would be, what, the second Saturday of the month or something. It's got a schedule anyways, and it's on the west side of town, down there at the Red Cross. And But I'm sure they'd love to have you. I asked him if you was there and passed, and he said, no, you wasn't there. But he's done it for a long time. I used to when I was up in Kansas, but I got ticked off when they took the CW portion off. And, I just wrote and told them I didn't want to do it no more. That was my temper getting the better of me.
Yeah, we have those days and moments. It's, sometimes things that really don't matter seem to set us off, and we make choices, and, well, once we make them, we live with them. So... But I'll be honest with you, I'm glad right now they don't have the CW in it, because that'd just be something else I'd have to learn. But I intend to try to pick it up. I'm interested in it. I've been reading a little on it and listening to the way it works and how much easier it is to make contacts DX-wise, you know, with CW. So there's a lot of people that still do CW and 4WHM.
Yeah, I despised it. I hated it. But it was called incentive licensing, and that's the only reason I did. I tried it with the old 33 and a third RPM record and a straight key without having anybody for an Elmer. And I just said, nah, this is too much. And back then, CB was decent, you know, and not like it is now, for the most part. Now, the truckers use a lot, you in the terminals and stuff like that, but you know what it's like otherwise. And I had two daughters that were in the car most of the time, and I just didn't want it around. But I, after I went to the trouble of getting it, I thought, well, I might still use it a little bit. I never thought I'd pass that 20 word a minute. But I can say this. The ham world is a lot luckier that N0TR doesn't make the rules. But, you know, I have to say, it's probably just as well with attitudes like you represent, Bill, that if you want to get it, you'll get it, and if you don't, you don't. The only thing I miss is they had 25 kilohertz down at the end of each band, like 7 megs to 7.025 was just extra class. And back then, there was only 11% of us that held that license. And, shall we say, it was a lot more civilized, even in the CW portion. And, but now it's not. Now they got all the electronic gears and stuff like that. I guess, like anything else, I enjoyed the old days. But at least I got to live through them. And back to you, Bill.
Everything has changed, that's for sure. I think about just the way I grew up and the way kids are growing up today. I mean, it's a whole new world. Everything has changed, and the moral compass is like you're sitting on a piece of steel. It just ain't quite as true as it used to be.
And it was going to happen. It was inevitable because the international community went to it. What I, in my opinion, would have liked to seen is for them to lower the requirement, for example, from 13 words a minute to 10 words a minute, or even 5. But 10 would have been more satisfactory. I had a heck of a time. I took Tech, and then Tech Plus was 5 words a minute. Then you took your General, and it was 13 words, and I had a heck of a time with that. I thought I'd never get it. And then I took the Advanced, which was the very hardest of all the tests. Even W4DJW will tell you that, and he's light years ahead of me as far as intelligence goes. That Advanced class was tough. And then the Extra class, and it was 20 words a minute, and it was, oh, wow. I had a lot of engineer friends that, like, worked at the TV station and different folks like that. There were school teachers and everything else. And they said once they got their Advanced class that they'd never, ever do that 20 words a minute to get the extra. But the minute it was dropped, I had friends that were like that, that were extremely intelligent, that wouldn't do 20 words a minute, that went ahead and got their extra. So it's all worked out in the long run. And I just hate to hear swear words and things like that in Morse code at times. And that's usually just during the contesting portion. You'll hear stuff like, and you never, ever heard that before. But it's not uncommon now. But that's the kind of changes that I don't like to see. But I'll give in to the fact that it's worked out all right.
I'll admit I use a swear word now and then, especially if I hit my finger with a hammer. But I try to be professional and act professional and project a professional image, whether I'm at home or work or wherever. But it'll slip out once in a while. But yeah, on the radio, there's no place for it, unless you hit your finger with a hammer. But that would be rare since you'd be holding the mic. M4WHM.
Yeah, that's a good way. Bernice said, it's the dumbing down of America. If you can't pass the test, you lower the standards, and that applies to a lot of things. But I think we've got a lot of good hams in there that wouldn't be there at all if we'd have kept it. And it took me a lot of years to ever admit that. But, well, Bernice, what are you cooking over there? Oh, she's going to make some kind of chicken and rice stuff for our dinner, supper, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and I agree with you, Bill. We've both been around the world, and they know words that we don't know. That's A-I-N-T, that we don't know, but we choose not to use them. but I'll have to admit they do come out now and then. But I'm like you. I agree with you 1,000%. Well, she's making noise and banging around here. I guess I'll head down to the basement. I had a couple of things I wanted to do, but that shoulder's hurting bad, and my back is, as always, hurting bad. So I've been slow to move this morning. I had to move one weather station receiver out of a back bedroom, and I'm going to put it into retirement for now. And it's too bright to sleep by. It lights up the whole room. And I can't even remember what I was going to do downstairs, but something. But I'll let you go. You have a great day, and I hope you have a very good game this afternoon or this evening. I'll look for you down the line. I haven't heard Chad today, have you?
Chad on the radio. I've had the radio on off and on since about 9:30 this morning, but hadn't heard him. So he may be, there's no telling what he's up to. Clean his shop and everything else. He's got plenty to keep him busy. But as always, it's good to talk to you, Tom. I enjoy it every time. And once you get down to the basement, I'm sure you'll find something to do, whether it was what you intended or not. So, and then if you do it what you didn't intend, it'll probably come to you by the time you get tired. So, but always good to hear you. You and Bernice have a great day. And 73 is my friend. Be safe. This is M4WHM.
Yeah. I'll be glad to see Chad again. We didn't go up there because he was going to be gone for a couple of days. And he's back home, so I'm sure he's busy playing catch-up. And you know, you can hire that flooring done and all that stuff. A man of your standing in the community can surely afford it. So tell your wife you'll just make a phone call and have him come in and do that. That way you can go fishing and take care of Bill. N4WHM, N0TR73.